This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is Carlin for a Yankee pregame right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Boy, impressive in game one. And I know you were all knocking me and getting all over me about suggesting that it was just imperative, that it was frankly a must-win situation for the Yankees in game one. And it's pretty simple as to why that was the case. When you have your ace on the mound and you're facing a team that has beat up on you during the year, even though for a few of those games you may not have had your full complement of players, mentally it would go a long way to do some real harm against you. But you've almost flipped the script here, moving forward into game two. What do I mean? Well, the Yankees have now put themselves in a position with what they've done offensively in the first three games of the playoffs that they're not going to be intimidated by anybody, even though they had been by the Rays during the regular season, that they just went out and won a game where their ace didn't pitch his best game nearly remotely, and they're able to just club the opposition. And it's not even about anymore that suggestion over the last few years, that knock over the last few years on the Yankees, that great hitting will always get beat out by great pitching. Well, in the first three games of the 2020 playoffs, the Yankees have slapped around great pitching, and they have done it exceptionally well. Now, last night, it's just a 4-3 lead going into the ninth inning. But the fact that you can open the floodgates at any moment, the fact that Giancarlo Stanton has been part of the important runs that have been scored, like last night, putting it completely out of range, the fact that you're able to do that to the Rays and they almost waved the white flag with how they were handling their bullpen. Boy, all of those things combined, you basically went to the Rays who thought they were this nice upstart team and have tried to always position themselves like the underdogs, and you smacked them square in the face again, like the bully that the Yankees are. We talked about the notion that a bully can be later on, can be somebody that if you punch him in the face and you land one good shot, they don't know how to react and they are completely off their game. Well, that was the case, I think, for the Yankees a lot of this year in the 10 games against the Rays. But now they are back to doing what they do, and that's just pummeling the opponent. Pummeling the opponent. How have they done it? It has been remarkably impressive, their approach this postseason. At the plate, the Yankees have been as disciplined as we have seen them in years, in not chasing bad pitches, in not chasing off-speed pitches, and not making the strike zone so much bigger. And you hear Boone talk about it ad nauseum, but there's a reason for it. And there are numbers behind it from last night. I'm not going to bore you with a ton of stats, but here's a pretty impressive one. Last night, the Rays threw the Yankees 89 off-speed pitches. 89! The Yankees swung at 37 of them. That's 42%. You might say, well, I don't know if that's a good or a bad number. It's a decent number. But out of the strike zone, they barely swung. They were spitting on those pitches left and right. Take that other stuff and get it the hell out of here. Don't throw me that crap. Because you're not going to get anywhere with it. And the Yankees laid off. And what happened? They got fastballs. And as a result, the Yankees were 7 for 13 against the fastball with two home runs last night. When you talk about hunting the fastball, this is exactly what it has been. And they have been masterful at it. Now, all of this leading into tonight, does that necessarily mean that they're going to go win the game tonight? Well, I picked the Yankees to win this series in four. You have turned and put some pressure, not undue pressure, but some pressure on Davey Garcia. And I think we can all agree that when we saw him during the year, if there's one thing you could say, it's that he doesn't seem to be a kid who gets bothered by very much. Well, we'll find out tonight, because this is now the real thing. Can he just be as under control as he was in some of those important starts earlier this season? It's interesting to put him in this spot, but it's a smart move by Aaron Boone here. It's really a smart move. You take some of that playoff pressure off. Let's say for a second that he goes out there and gets hit hard tonight. Well, he's got Jay Happ to back him up, or Jordan Montgomery to back him up. So he's got some length behind him. There was even the suggestion that maybe Garcia might be an opener. Maybe one time through the lineup and we'll move on from it. Bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for you. I don't necessarily know that I love that if he's rolling along, but it does present the Yankees with a lot of options for this evening. And you're facing a guy in Tyler Glasnow who is good, okay? He is a very good pitcher. Let's not turn him into Nolan Ryan. He's not that. The Yankees, as we said, faced them three times this year. One time they smacked him around, didn't get out of the third inning. Another time, decent. Third time, pretty good. Last seven starts of the year, which began with that middle start, he pitched to an ERA under three. Impressive, sure. 43 innings over seven starts means you're getting six innings. The Rays laid off their high leverage relievers last night, all to their benefit, but you better go and win game two if that's the case. Like, if you're looking at this from a Tampa standpoint, and you got Davey Garcia on the mound, and you got your good relievers behind Glasnow, you damn well better win this game. Because if you don't, you're screwed. You're completely screwed. So the Yankees have turned the tables with this very simple plan at the plate, and they have adhered to it with a discipline that they have not had in years past in the postseason. It's impressive to watch. Really pay attention to it. See how many times they don't swing at bad pitches anymore. That said, they'll be waving all over the place tonight. It's going to be getting windy in San Diego. I think the Yankees tonight, I never want to call a playoff game a house money game. They lose tonight, big deal. Big deal. What was important and why I was stressing it so much was to win game one, set a tone, and not lose with your ace on the mound. All of that could have added up to disaster. 800-919-3776. I've had a bad last hour, I'm not going to lie. My wife and I have been running around the house because one of the damn fire alarms is chirping, and we can't figure out which one. It was like a bad Modern Family episode. And I swear to God, I was seconds away from taking a bat to all of them. So I'm a little cranky. Maybe some sports talk will make me feel better, but let's get some good stuff. We'll be right back.
a solid poll. Absolutely crushed. Absolutely crushed with the loss of Eddie Van Halen today. Oh, the greatest guitarist who ever lived, period. Don't even bother. I love Clapton. I love Jimmy. I love them all. The Edge? No. No. Van Halen, the greatest guitarist to ever live. Saw Van Halen twice. Saw him in 1992 when I was taking a respite, shall we say, from college. A brief interlude after my freshman year and some academic concerns that arose. On the Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge Tour, the best seats I have ever had for a concert in my life. Me and Mike Berg went and sat outside the Ticketmaster at Scotty's in Madison, New Jersey, in the afternoon, and somehow we were the first ones online and got these like 10th row center tickets. Amazing. Never had tickets like that before in my life. And really since. And then I saw them in 2004 when my wife and I were first starting dating. And that was the reunion tour where they all hated each other. I'll give it to them. They could sell it. You couldn't tell on stage they hated each other, but they apparently all hated each other at that point. Hagar both times. But hey, Eddie, rest in peace. Eddie Van Halen, just the absolute best guitarist there ever was. 800-919-3776. We will start tonight's show with Peter in New Jersey. Peter, what's cooking, brother?
Hey, how you doing? Like you were saying before, I'm really high about, you know, the Yankees plate appearances last night, but the pitcher tonight, Garcia, I was wondering your thoughts with him being 21 years old, again, to start tonight, if the Yankees could, you know, back him up all the way through.
What do you mean by back him up?
I just feel he's pretty much a child, and I don't know if he gets a lot of hits, the Yankees really got to produce.
Look, I think the Yankees are going to have to score a ton of runs anyway. I mean, the Rays are a good team. I don't think the Yankees are going to have to score 10 runs again to win, but Garcia is, you are taking a chance. There's no getting around that. You are taking a chance with a 21-year-old that they like a lot, and the reason that they are taking this chance is it's game two, not an elimination game, and he has looked very calm and cool. This is more about his demeanor and how he has pitched in high-pressure situations before this season, even though it hasn't been on the same level as this.
Right. Yeah, I was nervous if he does get taken out, if they got to start running through the bullpen, but I'm hoping for, you know, strong.
Well, but here's the thing to feel good about there, right? And thanks for the call, Peter. The thing to feel good about is you got either Hap behind him or you've got Jordan Montgomery behind him. You have pitchers who at the very least can give you length. And if it gets out of hand early and they put up a five spot on him in the first inning and a third, he's going to be gone and you're going to turn to one of those guys to try to get you five, six innings so that maybe you don't have to blow out the bullpen. And also don't forget another guy in terms of length, one minor move that I don't necessarily think will play a role. One minor roster move they made was Eric Kratz is off the roster and they put Michael King on it. So they're hopeful that if they should need somebody to play that mop-up role, it would be somebody like Michael King. How about Saul in Jersey next on 98.7 ESPN? A big Saul! What's up, baby?
What's up, Karin? I saw today Domingo Herman got taken off the MLB restricted list. Any chance he makes an impact in the next series?
No.
Let him on?
No. I don't think Domingo Herman is coming within 100 miles. Make it 2,500 miles of San Diego where the Yankees are pitching, playing.
If I can, what about Ottavino? They're not using him, even though he's probably one of their best relievers.
Well, Saul, this is where the real problem is, okay?
when you have three guys that you trust, you have to find a fourth and a fifth when you're playing five straight days. You have to. And Ottavino, the fact that they did not turn to him in that game two, you know, they were fortunate to win game two. And had they not, they might have been in some trouble in game three with the way the bullpen was used.
Definitely, yeah.
But you need Ottavino. You're going to need Ottavino in a big situation in this series. That's just fact. He's going to have to come out of the bullpen and get you some big outs. You have to show your faith in him.
Yeah, if you take away that bad outing he had.
The disaster in Buffalo, yeah.
He has a 2.95 ERA without that. That's what I heard.
Yeah, the ERA, when it comes to the relievers, not a big deal, and they do all count. But that bombing in Buffalo, and thanks for the call, that was a nightmare event for him. That's why, like, I saw a stat the other day, and it's like, get out of here with this crap. It's like he's got a 12 ERA in his last seven appearances. Well, that was one of them where I don't know if he even got an out and gave up six runs. So, yeah, that's a little skewed. Out of here with that. You know better than that. Joe in Staten Island next, 98.7 ESPN. Joe.
Yeah, you just touched on it. So with a six-run lead last night, that would have been a perfect time to bring Ottavino in last night to give him a little confidence back, and instead of bringing in Cesar. He didn't pitch at all in the Cleveland series. So I think
a small little
you know, blip of mismanagement by Boone there.
I don't think that was mismanagement. You wanted him to pitch the ninth inning?
Yeah, because you know what I'm saying? We're going to need him in the CS and in the World Series, you know, if we get in there, right? So why not give the guy a little confidence boost with a six-run lead? Go out there, go get him.
Let me ask you this. What happens in that spot, Joe, if he goes out there and gets hit around a little bit? Then you might have lost him mentally for the series.
You know what you're dealing with. I'd rather know than not know.
Yeah, then I got to find somebody else, and I'm doing it on the fly. So I think Boone has to show.
You'd feel better to put him in with a two-run game and not know how you're dealing with?
I would feel better. I think Ottavino is more than capable of getting the job done. Okay, I'm not going to baby a veteran like that at this juncture of his career.
Why didn't they use him in Cleveland?
Joe, I think that he didn't pitch in Cleveland because Aaron did clearly not have any faith in him in that spot. But right now, in this series, you don't have a choice. You have to have faith in him.
That's why you put him in and let him test the water. Put his big toe in with a six-run lead as opposed to, hey, you know, baptism by fire here, you know, ALCS, we're going to use you.
I see the point. You're just wrong. Thanks for the call, though, because there's no point in putting him in that inning if you want to use him today, tomorrow. I'd rather have him fresh and available today and tomorrow in a five games in 5 days type series. There was no need to see when you put him into that mop-up role. And you're talking about, ooh, let's get you a little bit of confidence here, big fella. What you're telling him is we have no confidence in you, and I'm trying to build you back up. Like a delicate little rookie. That's not what Adam Ottavino is. When you're ready to go back to him, you just go back to him. That's all there is to it. Spike in Jersey. Hello, Spike.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Just talking to my wife about the smoke alarms and our dog, and she used to freak out when she heard it, and the dog's here.
I saw your tweet, and Spike's saying, you know, put the dog near the smoke alarm to try to find it. The dog is useless in this spot. She is curled up, panting, and shaking in the bathroom right now.
Okay, all right, that's what happens. Their hearing is 40 or 50 times greater.
Oh, yeah, that's clear.
Hearing in those, yeah, so you're in the same crap where we were. My wife just said she's going to go out and do the same thing on the deck. You know, it's the same thing with lightning and thunder.
She is afraid of her own shadow.
Yeah,
she's
afraid of
lightning, thunder, fireworks, that little beep. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, the little beep is not a
She's
little
She's 11 years
now.
Old. It's not a big deal.
I know. Okay. All right. Well, as long as you didn't take the bath to them, you'll find it. Here's the deal. We were wrong last night, and it turned out okay because we both thought that should have played Sanchez. You know?
I was happy to be wrong.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, absolutely. This kid, to me, I've seen all his starts, pretty much all his pitches. he seems, maybe you'll agree or not agree, he seems to have a very relaxed motion and for a little guy, and like Stroman. He's about Stroman size, right? A little smaller, maybe. Yeah. If he throws the ball easy, they are world beaters there. I mean, that was. I thought Cole was fine last night. Even when I got off with you, I said he could throw one pitch and give up a home run. I don't care about home runs with nobody on. Two in a row, I'm not thrilled with. But what's the guy, the weatherman, what's his name, Jim Cantore? The guy who chased the tornadoes on the CNN, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't. Okay, it sounds familiar. I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's a weatherman. He chases these hurricanes on the beaches and stuff, and he's always in the slicker and everything with the station on it. That's what I don't want. Tonight's game, you're right. To me, I believe exactly what you said. I describe it the same way, as close as you come to house money. But tonight had no shot last week in that weather. No shot to bring him back. We've talked about this. So I'm very, very confident, really confident. I think it's going to be really cool. I think the Yankees are going to hit. Their strategy is reverting back to what they did in the late 90s. They took a lot of pitches. If they don't go fishing, they're going to hit. They're just going to hit. I don't care who plays. Maybe Boone's on a hot streak, you know, like a card player.
Maybe so. Thanks for the call, Spike. It could be, because everything he touched last night turned to gold. He was just fine. So everything he did, Frazier, obviously Stanton in that spot, getting Cole out of the game when he did. Yeah, and we don't have to worry about any hurricanes in San Diego tonight. I think we're okay there. It's just, let's not get into that again. We don't need to think about that game ops guy who thought it was brilliant to start the game when the rain was starting. Let's wait an hour, because that's when the rain's going to get really bad. That's when we should play.
Love it. Honestly, this is a crushing blow to lose Eddie Van Halen. It really is. Oof. It really is.
How about Pedro Martinez? Remember last night, 9-3, after Stanton blew the game open, somebody got a little bit annoyed with Gleyber Torres for stealing a base. And that someone was Pedro Martinez. Take a listen to what he had to say on MLB Network last night.
Gleyber, that's a mistake. You respect the opposition because you expect them to respect you. And what you do is you add fuel to the fire, and later on, if they bust you back, don't think that they don't respect you or they don't like you. It was just that was a terrible mistake. I hope you learn, and the next time, just don't do that.
Okay, Pedro, I get it. It is the... God, I'm so tired of these two words. The unwritten rules crap. Oh, God, stop with it, please. It's 9-3. These two teams hate each other. And by the way, the Rays flipped two Yankees in the inning after they gave up the grand slam to Stanton. They're going up and in right away. I do think we're going to have a moment. I honestly do. And I know that everybody is not going to escalate by saying the wrong things post-game, and I guarantee you that both managers have addressed that with their teams. Do not fan the flames. But I honestly believe there's a good chance that it does happen. And I didn't think that before last night, but I do now, based off of what we saw last night. Now, on the stealing at 9-3, I don't really care anymore. If you're going to go steal a base at 12-3, that's another thing, okay? It's a six-run game. I wouldn't say it's good form, but the unwritten rules crap, that's out the window, okay? I don't think by doing that, Glaber's going to get one of his teammates drilled. I don't expect that to be the case. But look, would you prefer that Gleyber didn't do it? Sure. But let's not get worked up by it. There's no point in that. You're just sounding crunchy and crunchy, cratchety and old. But we know what Pedro was about, right? You could always count on him for the theatrics. Crispy, New York, next, 98.7 ESPN. Crispy!
Yeah, and I think we had an interesting moment yesterday, right, where there was a high-pitched thrown. I can't recall.
Two of them in the ninth inning. It was after Stanton gave up after Stanton hit the grand slam.
Yes, and that was rather interesting because, I mean, number one, you could potentially have put someone on, and it was just, I don't know, I thought it was telling. But you had mentioned during your Savages in the Box podcast yesterday what I thought was a pretty compelling stat regarding the breaking balls and how many were thrown. Mm. And it was interesting because Giancarlo, that was a breaking ball that he took into center field off of John Curtis.
Judge hit a slider out.
Right. Right now looking at, you were right about G-Man Choi. I mean, wow, this guy's batting .526 with four home runs lifetime against Cole, effective yesterday. And then, Stanton, what he's done at Petco Park is pretty remarkable as well.
Yeah.
You talk about 19 career games, or should I say, he's hit eight home runs already in Petco
Park.
Nine
now.
Right. Nine yesterday.
Yeah, and listen, for me, I actually was more in favor of playing Sanchez yesterday because of his history against Snell, but that went out the window. Obviously, he's very comfortable there. I thought it strange when he was asked about it post-game, Crispy, that he's like, yeah, no, it's just being in Southern California, being back home, that kind of thing. Is it more comfortable there? Like sometimes not sometimes, 98% of the time when it's a ballpark that you just clean up in, it's because you have great sight lines for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I can understand why you would have wanted Sanchez in the lineup. I mean, I didn't think it was, I did not think that it was out of the realm of possibility that you put Sanchez at DH. Because of the protection in the lineup and because that, you know, you would take off the weight of pressure of him having to call a game, him having to call a game with Cole on the mound and the pass balls and all the history that he's had as of late. But I thought it was absolutely the right decision. And obviously I stand by that now more so than I did yesterday.
Crispy, great to hear from you. Appreciate you checking out Savages in the Box every morning, 6 a.m. Had a late night last night, but loving doing it and talking about the game and getting a chance to break it all down, especially on the nights where we don't have a post game. Now, the next couple of nights, we should have post games because they are 7 o'clock first pitches. The 8 o'clock first pitches, that has had us not doing the post game. So, and we've had a little pregame. Tomorrow, no pregame. Yeah, maybe a post game. So that's how it'll work out. Richard in Manhattan.
Hey, Chris, you know, if the Miami Heat beat the LA, it'd be the greatest upset ever in NBA history.
Richard.
I know, it can't happen, but
it's the Yankees, Richard. It's game two, it's the playoffs, and you're worried about the Heat.
Well, that was a great performance by Jimmy Butler last game.
Richard, let me ask you this question. Yeah. It was a phenomenal performance by Jimmy Butler. Do you for a minute think that the Heat have enough to win a game four?
We'll see. I'll watch it tonight. Yeah. You know, he's got to be the only player in NBA history, 6'6" and under, to score 40 points and not attempt one three-point shot, not even one. Can you imagine that? 6'6" and under. That's impossible.
I can imagine it.
Well, who do you think could have done it?
No, I can imagine that he did it the other night because he was phenomenal.
He shot 70% from the field, 90% from the line.
Yep.
11
got all this out of the box score the other day. Yep.
13 assists. Mm-hmm. He didn't get one personal foul.
That was in there, too.
Two steals. Yep. Not one personal foul. steals, two blocks. He scored as many points as AD and LeBron.
Yeah, it's still in the box score. Yeah, thanks for the call, Richard. It's our guy. Richard in Manhattan. It's a reason we have the alarm. We want you to know what's on the way. Richard's on the way.
And then you sense a change. Nothing feels the same. All your dreams are strange.
It's going to be just a little bit depressing, just frankly. That's what it is. Losing at 800-919-3776. How about this? The Rays broadcasters last night with, I believe it was either Stanton, but I think it was Aaron Judge at the plate, grounding into a double play. Take a listen to this.
A 1-4-3 double play, and Judge hits into it.
Well, those help. Second time that Thompson's allowed the leadoff man to reach and then get the next man to bounce into a double play. And I'll tell you what, if you're the Rays, again, you want to see Aaron Judge trying to sprint and break and prevent a double play. You want to see that from Stanton, and maybe they get some of those recurring leg issues that they've had in the past bounce back again.
So you want to get them hurt. You want them sprinting so you can get them hurt. I mean, come on. That is ham and egg crap. I mean, honestly, if you're in Tampa, and you can't pay people to go to the games, and they're good year in and year out, and because the two teams hate each other, you're going into the whole, you want to see him sprinting, so maybe he comes down with another leg injury, get him out of the series. Come on. That's a gutless thing to say, especially from the broadcast booth. Please. You want to see him get hurt so he's out of the series. I would say you're better than that, but I don't even know who you are. I don't even know who it is, who the raced radio broadcasters are. That's complete and utter garbage, okay? So why would you go out of your way to say something like that? You know you shouldn't say something like that, even if you think it. Don't say something like that. Like, you have to have a certain amount of common sense to get this far in the industry, to become a radio announcer for a team, that you know what you can and you cannot say. And you cannot say that. I mean, it's deplorable. It's deplorable to say something like that. Frankly, should lose the gig. I don't like seeing people lose their jobs. That's one where you're talking about somebody getting hurt and you want to get him out of the series. It's not like you want him to break his leg, but hey, if he's going to run hard, pull another muscle, let's get him out of the series. Come on. That's garbage. Get out. Get out. Artie in Brooklyn, next, 98.7 ESPN. Artie, what's up?
Chris, what happened to my chat chant?
Oh, I forgot.
You got Richard talking basketball. You got me talking football.
I settle down, Artie. I mean, come on. I got playoffs coming tonight, and you're screaming and yelling at me about getting your jet chant on. Settle down.
So listen, how about this for a scenario for the Jets? Flacco comes in there.
Happy?
So yeah. Flacco wins two games. We miss Trevor by one. And Donald sticks it up, and we can't get a quarterback. How about that for a Jets scenario, baby? All
right. Artie, why would you even paint that picture in your own mind that was possible? Why would you do that to yourself? Because now... Now, you know it's possible. I have to tell you, though, Flacco, and I get it. It was a neck injury, and he is just back from it. Last week, he did not look like somebody who was interested in being on the football field.
We'll find out this week because it's looking more and more like Darnold's not going to play. And frankly, why should you? There's no need to play him. Dempsey in the Bronx next. 98.7 ESPN. Dempsey, what's up?
Chris, good evening. Quick question. What makes a Ranger fan do a Yankee podcast?
You know, I work in New York. And frankly, The biggest reason why I did it was because I do love talking baseball, but a lot of time during the year, I'm up against the Yankee game. So you don't want to necessarily talk a lot about the Yankee game when you're up against it. People who care about that are watching it.
Good point. So what I wanted to talk about was...
Plus the Rangers suck.
Yeah, true. But Joey Gallo's probably... I say he's going to go to the Boston Red Sox this offseason.
If they can get some talent, I don't care where anybody goes anymore. One guy I do care where he goes is John Daniels, and it should be out of Dallas. He stinks.
Well, I wanted to talk about Davey Garcia, and I liked what Rick said. Rick DiPietro said earlier in the day where this is the best game for him, and I like the move. Obviously, it's a long series, but he's playing against no fans, and he's done it all throughout the regular season. I don't think the playoff pressure is going to be there. I know, and a lot of people are saying, let's just get three innings, three run ball, mm-hmm. and get him out of there. But I think he can go 6 or 7, and I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
If he gives them 7 innings tonight, I'll be stunned. But thanks for the call, Dempsey. That would be an amazing, amazing feat. Let's get Tony in the Bronx in here. Tony, what's up?
Hey, Colin, thanks for taking me in, squeezing me in, really. Listen, I'm going to go quick here. I know you're up against it. I was totally, totally off base here. I thought my Yanks were going to come out a little cold, and they came out on fire. You know, my uncles climbed me off the bridge, and they were saying to me, no, they're going to step it up against the Rays. They lost 8-10. You're looking at it the wrong way. Everyone, even Stanton's going to come up. Look what Stanton did in the ninth. So, you know what? They are firing on all cylinders. Colin, I think this team is ready, locked and loaded. If they win tonight's game, it is a wrap. And I would love to take on the Astros. Not because of a hate.
Oh, Tony, don't get ahead of yourself. Thanks for the call. We got to go. Don't get ahead of yourselves. If they get a chance to take on the Astros, that'll be something. Oh, boy. Great job out of the backbone of the show. Nikki, great job, Ty. Enjoy Yankees Rays Game 2. Carlin, out.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.